Hello, my sweet strangelings. Before we get into today's scary story, I wanted to share with you guys what's been on my mind this last week. I had gone to North Carolina, into the small little town in Lincolnton, North Carolina, and I found this fun little shop called The Odd Duck. The Odd Duck is a fun little place where you can find unusual, strange things and also haunted things. The shopkeeper actually let me in to this room that is called the Vault. Now, they change the Vault every 4 to 6 months. They previously had some stuff from like the Manson murders in there. Like not like actual items, but I think like a little mini museum stuff and pictures. I don't know. It gets pretty dark in there. But anyway, by the time I went in there, they had haunted dolls. And I know that most of us love haunted dolls, but I was very shocked when he opened the door. I like jumped back and I was like, oh my God, the energy in there just felt so heavy. I'll be posting some stuff on the community board around this. So hang tight with that. But I mean, let me know, do you like antique shops? Have you ever found anything strange in antique shops? I know that that's something that not many people talk about, but I love antiquing. So I'm curious to figure out what you guys have found when you went antique shopping. Anyway, let's get on with the story, shall we? Hi, I'm Stephanie Strange. Want to hear something scary? Have you heard of the Silent Twins? They say a soulmate is one soul split in two different bodies, but if they're really soulmates, would one die without the other? And what happens to the survivor, especially if they've only ever really known being one half of a pair? Miss Gibbons sat watching her twin daughters play. She desperately wanted to know what they were saying, but June and Jennifer had a sisterly bond so strong they had invented their own language. It was a language that only they could understand. Although she didn't understand the words, it appeared Jennifer was the boss. Since the girls were unwilling to participate in class, the girls struggled at school. In their hometown in Wales, they were the only non-white children, and they suffered relentless bullying due to their differences. Before long, they became known as the Silent Twins. Soon, they refused to engage with anyone else at all, becoming isolated and inseparable, and even mirroring each other's behavior. It became harder to tell them apart. It was as if their personalities were interchangeable. One day, a twin would appear as June. The next day, she would appear as Jennifer. Before long, a school nurse referred them for a psychiatric review, and they were being sent to separate boarding schools. But instead of helping them to establish independence without each other, the twins withdrew further into themselves. Staff at the schools would have to drag the girls from their beds. Without each other, they didn't communicate with anyone else at all. Realizing that being separated was making things worse, the twins were sent home. This time, Miss Gibbons watched her teens filling the pages of notebooks with stories and diary entries. When they ran out of paper, they began scribbling all over their bedroom walls. Along with their creativity, they also started to exhibit some undesirable behavior. The twins committed several petty crimes. This escalated to arson, and once again, June and Jennifer found themselves under their psychological assessments. This time, they were deemed unsafe to themselves and society and were committed to a maximum security psychiatric facility filled with dangerous criminals housing some of the UK's most evil criminals. They remained in prison for several years, administered many different drugs and treatments with varying side effects trying to break their silence. At some point during their time in the facility, the twins, now young women, decided that in order for one of them to be able to live a full life, the other must die. Marjorie Wallace was visiting with the twins just before they became eligible to transfer to a lower security facility back in their hometown. She was a reporter and one of very few people they actually conversed with. During this particular meeting, Jennifer told her, "Marjorie, I'm going to have to die. We have decided." Of course, Miss Wallace was unsettled by this. She reported it to the medical staff, but they were not concerned since the twins were supervised and have not proven to be at risk of harm to themselves. The day they were set to travel to Wales, Jennifer leaned her head onto June's shoulder and fell into a coma and passed away quietly. Doctors ruled it as a heart attack, despite no medical history of a heart condition and no toxins found in her body during the autopsy. She was only 29. It seemed a pact had been made, and one life indeed faded, finally allowing the other to thrive. The diaries that the twins had kept revealed they might not have been as close as originally perceived. June believed Jennifer was a dark shadow constantly possessing her. Despite their apparent bond and insistence on only communicating with each other, June was fearful of Jennifer. According to the entries, she was the dominant sister, often feeling disdain for June. After Jennifer's death, June kept her part of the bargain. She became fully cooperative and was subsequently released from hospital and put back into her community, where she continued to do well and still lives today. Has she really been possessed by her domineering twin while she was still alive? Had Jennifer truly willed herself to die despite a lifetime of domineering June? The truth behind the silent twins remains a mystery. Like and share if this video gave you the chills. And don't forget to subscribe and turn on the bell for notifications. See you next time.